Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast for PR pros and marketers who work for themselves. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I am here as ever with Karen Swim. She is the guiding light for us solos over at Solo PR Pro. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hello, Michelle. And Michelle is a year older, so happy, happy, happy birthday again.
Oh.
Fabulous co-host.
Thank you. Yes, it happens. That thing that happens. Yep.
Yes, I'm having a trip around the sun and we're so happy. I think that you
Thank
deserve
you.
To be celebrated year round. So
likewise.
I'm not celebrating you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's certainly, yeah, we're in March now, but these February birthdays, they certainly help brighten up a dull winter. So that's always a good thing. I'm told I was born in an ice storm. I don't know if that's true. I'm sure it is.
Oh,
I'm sure there was. Yeah. Had to drive you, mother, in an ice storm. Like, okay. You know, I had absolutely nothing to do with that. Right. Okay. Just saying. The first of many, many drama infused moments, but thank you. Well, you know, and as we sing our praises to each other as fabulous women, we want to honor that this is Women's History Month. And so today we're just going to do a little free flow conversation about that. You know, women in PR, women in 2021, women and, you know, how we're tackling diversity, either well or not so well. And yeah, so that's kind of where we are today. And it all does come back to, you know, whether you're getting on well or making progress or not making progress or pointing things out that finally need to be addressed, it all does come back to how you communicate and, you know, how you put your ideas across. And, you know, it's, you know, not to make anything trite, but, you know, anytime your mouth opens, we're considering our audience, what is our purpose with our statement we're about to make, and all the things. But, yeah. Yeah. So
it's interesting, you know, Women's History Month is a great time to talk about all of the many accomplishments of women, but it's also a good opportunity to reflect on ways that we can do better. And so, you know, in public relations, it's always so striking to me that we, according to the BLS data, we hold about 59% of PR management roles and 63% of PR specialist positions. However, we women earn 85.8% of the median annual income of men. So in other sources, PRCA did a study and they reported a gender pay gap of 20.7%. So in a profession that's dominated by women, dominated. I mean, I think that each of us PR practitioners, if we really think about who we interact with and our colleagues, we would say that they're largely women, but men still make more money. And unfortunately, that gender pay gap does not end in the corporate workforce. You know, Freshman has done studies that show that pay gap persists even into entrepreneurship. And so I think that, you know, talking about these issues and being aware of it and what causes that. And I think it really goes, you know, to those deep roots of how we think about men and women.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he's the breadwinner. He needs to make more. And you know, that brings you back to the whole concept of work. Well, why are we basing on someone's role in the home?
Yes.
Why are we basing someone's pay with that? It should come back to the value that that work brings to your bottom line, not whether or not, you know, Joe has mouths to feed. Well, so does Sally. And, you know, and let's face it, life's different now than it was even 20, 30 years ago. I often feel like since we're talking about age, graduating high school in the late 80s, we were kind of on that first cusp of a whole new world that even people 4 and 5 years older didn't have to live in. You know, college started to be more expensive. You needed loans. You needed this. Mortgages were, you know, it was a whole different than, say, you know, if you had an older sibling, it was 5 years older. They're like, oh, well, I, I got this great job out of high school and our house costs this much. And it's only, I think, sadly for me, 30 years later or however many years later, 40 years later, sorry, I'm looking back and thinking, huh, no wonder I'm tired.
You know,
It's not to boohoo. It's just, you're
yeah.
dealing with a different reality bubble. And
Yeah.
anyway.
Well, you know what's really sad to me too is that throughout this pandemic, now we have another new word to add to our vocabulary, and that's the she session. It's basically referring to women having to exit the workforce or cut back on their independent practice because they cannot balance work with having their children, and the whole virtual school. And I mean, as a reality check, I'm not a parent. However, I've seen and experienced through friends and family members the online learning systems. And let me tell you, if you think that that makes school easier, they are a complete and total nightmare. And a lot of children are having, rather than their normal school day, they're having a 7-hour school day. That's practically an entire workday for you. And when you're both in the same space, something's got to give. And unfortunately, that's meant a lot of women have had to leave the workforce. And I don't know how long it's going to take us to recover from that. So that is heartbreaking that we have had to do that. And so, what do we do? Because I feel like as, business people and PR people, that we all can be part of the solution as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting, there's a Fortune article. I mean, this is just stark. In December of 2020, women accounted for more than 111% of lost jobs. They lost 156,000
Wow.
jobs during that month, while men gained 16,000 jobs. Oh, nice. Isn't that nice?
Wow, that's completely insane and
It is.
completely unfair.
Yeah, I
It,
know.
I, it's unfair. And I, you know, so
So what do we do?
one thing is that I think women that you have to get super comfortable with your skill set and your value. And you have to, so once you're really comfortable with who you are and what you have to offer and how you show up in the world, I love what Abby Wernach and Glennon Doyle talk about. They talk about the wolf pack that you can join as a force with other women. And I do think, so I think the keys, two keys to our success, learning our power, owning it, completely owning it. I see small ways every day that I see women giving it away. We still also have to work against, that old school work mentality where we feel that our outputs are what matter, not our outcomes, where we feel guilty about getting paid a certain amount of money for our knowledge and where we're not asking for what we deserve. But then I also think that it's so critical for women to support women. And I mean women of all colors, because another disturbing thing is that there's a new article out. I think it's in Digiday, and it talks. They spoke with Black women in PR who say that they're treated differently, and not just by men, by white women. Their actions, their words, their tone are interpreted differently. So we have some work to do within our own tribe to make room for all of our voices and to lift one another up and to be supportive. We're never going to fix this as individuals. We really have to work collectively to fight for what we deserve and to make things different. So, Michelle and I could say the same thing, and someone listening to us might interpret my tone aggressive, but what she said is okay. So we have to really stop to examine our attitudes and beliefs about races, not just genders, but races. And as women, we need to examine that and be supportive of our collective experience, but also our unique and individual experiences and the things that happen to us. In the world.
I mean, even in the last several years, I've always considered myself an ally. It's just intrinsic to me, not that I'm any better than anyone else, but it's like, injustice is wrong, plain and simple. And but it's, only recently it's like, okay, I've got to check myself. Like, how am I actively outwardly being an ally? It's not all about liking posts and retweeting things. What am I actively doing? What is, where is my place to speak, even in conversations on social media, right? Because, if it's a thread of Black women discussing an issue, it's not for me to pipe in and be like, well, I think, or, what? No, I'm learning. And because then there's that whole other level of the emotional labor, right? It's not up to Black women to teach white women. We have to take the active learning. And when you see something, say something. Don't be silent. Silence is complicit. And, we have to let people know that we are truly with them. It is. It's the whole anti-racism thing. It's that, no, that's not right. And
But I think you're right, Michelle. I think that, and I definitely can have always considered you to be an ally. Before woke was a word, you were woke.
And don't try and make it a bad word either, because
But I'm
I'll get my Irish up and come after you anyway.
exactly. I mean, but I think, that we all have been pushed into a different phase of reckoning, so to speak.
Yes,
And I think
absolutely.
women of color, we didn't always talk about racial issues. We did, we dealt with them. We maybe talked about it amongst our friends and family, but not really publicly. And I think that we've been forced out of our silence as well. So we are as guilty of allowing the problem to continue because maybe we weren't using our voices enough, even when we thought that we were. And I also think that we all have a responsibility to understand that, you know what, this is messy and it's uncomfortable. It's not comfortable to talk about these things. It's not comfortable to have people be awkward about learning, and there's going to be patience and compassion all around. We, women of color need to make it okay for people to not get it right, that are genuinely seeking with, a whole heart to be different, to be part of the solution. I would rather have someone awkwardly ask questions and really try to change their behavior patterns than to just walk away from it and pretend it doesn't exist. And I know that that may not be a well-received message, but, I operate from a place of people first, and that means all people, and I try to be compassionate. And I mean, but real talk, I get irritated too.
I'm sure.
I had an incident this week where I shared something about, Black women and how we have been victims of, emotional suppression because we're not allowed to show anger. We're not allowed to have anger. We've had to push that down because it's viewed as being ghetto or unprofessional or violent. And a white woman stepped on my conversation to tell me that it wasn't just Black women, but it was all women. And, that was irritating to me. Like, I get that women all have these issues in terms of, men telling us we need to manage our emotions. But in this moment, I'm talking very specifically about Black women, and our experience is different than white women. And you just erase that. I know that she didn't mean to do that, but that's exactly what she did. And we've got to stop doing that. And she probably did that either out of empathy of trying to relate to the problem and making it relatable for her, or Michelle, the word that you use, to make herself feel comfortable. And you shared a quote with me that
Yeah,
is
I'll pull it up.
beautiful.
Because it's it's awkward and you don't want to, feel like you said, it's messy. And she's probably well-intentioned. We like to think so. But have some self-awareness that, that's it's not her walk. So who is she to say? So this was shared from Brené Brown's page. We love Brené. And it's actually a quote from Dr. Susan David. So it seems like, yeah, it looks like Dr. David was a guest on Brené's Dangers of Toxic Positivity episode of her Dare to Lead podcast. So here we go. It's toxic positivity is forced false positivity. It may sound innocuous on the surface, but when you share something difficult with someone and they insist that you turn it into a positive, or we could say insist that, oh, it's not just you, what they're really saying is my comfort is more important than your reality. Like, oh, I don't want to face this. But like you say, this is a reckoning and it's going to be messy. And, you know, if that means that as white women, we preface this with, hey, I may get this wrong. You know, I'm fine to do that when I'm ordering off the menu and it's something in Italian. I'm like, I'm going to butcher this. But here's what I'd like to say. And, you know, without putting that emotional labor of schooling me, just let me know, like, oh, my God, yeah. You know, and that's not to say, you know, you have it's not the same as walking on eggshells. It's just like, yeah. Here this is. Yeah. And I've not lived your life, so I can't say. And, you know, there is strength in the whole white privilege, you know, sadly. But we need to use that in a better way. Use our powers for good, not comfort.
And I think that that's a good lesson for all of us. So as women, I think that, you know, we have to get uncomfortable and so that we can get real about what's really happening. And I think it's time for us, you know, again, to stand up for ourselves. We talked last week about the too many words, and I see women do this. Like, you don't need to explain yourself and your choices and your actions. You really honestly don't.
No.
And as women in the workforce, we really have got some work to do, but we need to, and we hope that today doesn't feel negative, but it's an encouragement that we are freaking rock stars, ladies, and we need to own that. And you need to stand strong and ask for what you deserve. Don't settle for anything less. And that means stop questioning whether or not you should charge a certain amount. Charge what you charge. Stop trying to make it okay and get permission. It's your business. Do you, is Mercedes-Benz calling you up and asking you if the price of their cars is too much? No. they're not. No one is doing that. You know, let's make it super real. Is the energy company soliciting your opinion on what their rate should be for business? There may be an open comment period about certain things, but I promise you that they're operating as a business. So own that. You know, we who are independent, we do have more control, and we've got to stand up for ourselves without fear. And we can't be pushed into a corner or allow people to pay us less than they would pay a man. And it's so horrifying to me that that happens, not to diminish men, but to say that every person should be paid according to the skills and the talent, period.
The work, the end result. And, you know, especially as independents, because it's not, I mean, yes, there are, you know, factors, the economy, this, that, and the other, that dictate our rate ranges, but we set our rates. What are we doing?
We settle.
And I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else.
I know. We shouldn't have to defend them. I mean, how often does this come up where we hear solo say, that feels high, about their own rate?
Yeah.
Because
questioning.
And it just, don't question yourself. Charge what you charge. And, you know, inevitably, when you give people permission to do that, and women were giving you permission to do that, there's always this aha moment where you get it. And then you're like, well, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And why didn't I do that sooner? Oh, I sent them a number and they said, okay. Oh,
how about that?
I think that is, you know, talking about gender roles, I think that's definitely, I think women more than men probably are well into our own heads a lot. I know a book that I read maybe 10 years ago, I forget when it came out, Mika Brzezinski's Knowing Your Value. And the value of that book was she had, you know, high-powered women, women who you look, you know, in all walks of life and work, and you look to them and you think, surely they have it all together. You know, that's Condoleezza Rice. She's got it going on. Or, you know, that's Madeleine Albright. What?
Yeah.
You know, and you read these little, they're anecdotes of, this is the barrier I hit. This is sometimes I feel like, I mean, shoot, Shonda Rhimes confessing that she gets imposter syndrome. That happened at the PA conference for women. And I sat there thinking, I'm okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, yeah. That sometimes she has to, you know, to walk in a room. You know, So we all have these things in common.
One another, right?
Yeah, exactly. For that.
And we all are going to have doubts. We're all going to have those shortcomings. But when you have a tribe that is, you know, encouraging you and reminding you of what you already know. And we need those reminders.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, again, it's important to know it for yourself, but then to surround yourself with people that can be supportive, that can mentor you, that can coach you, that can remind you, that can stand behind you, because we all feel a lot stronger when we're like, yeah, you know, somebody's there going, yeah, you do it, you go, you ask for what you want, girl. Don't let them take you down like that.
And do you know where we can find such a tribe? I'll do the plug. I'm telling you guys, Solo PR Pro, when you join, the Facebook group alone is worth it. And that is amazing women and men who will say, your rate is your rate. You need to charge what you charge. You know, and even when we, you know, we come in with sticky client situations of, you know, this person wants, you know, me to provide work before they even consider me, you know, what do I do? We're like, no, don't you do that. You know, don't hand it over for nothing. Your work has value. And, you know, it's just, I can't, here's the commercial, you know, I can't recommend it enough. I think if you are listening to this and you work in the communications world, you know, PR, marketing, and you are, you know, wish you had that kind of tribe, please check us out, because it is just incredible. And, you know, like you said, we're all in this together, for lack of a less trite phrase, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, we need each other. We really do. We have forever, and we need to get past, you know, our learned roles in society and the things that were almost foisted, you know, well, this is the way it is. It's like, well, no, we can be better. We can do better. You know, we're never going to reach utopia, but we can sure as heck try.
Yes, we can. So, and let's work to erase that gender gap. And, you know, in addition to supporting one another, you know, another disturbing thing that Michelle and I came across as we were doing research for this episode is that, you know, part of the pay gap in PR specifically is because the media preferred men. So when we think about, you know, our colleagues in journalism and how even women journalists are treated so differently than men, we need to support them as well. That support has to surround our sisters in other industries. But journalism obviously is a very close profession, and you know, it's a relationship that we work together a lot. And I think that we have to care and stand with them for their issues too. I mean, it's horrifying how they're dismissed, how they are demeaned, how in some spaces they are threatened, harassed, and dismissed. And we can't allow that to happen.
No, nope. We have to stand together. You know, we need each other to do what we do, even though sometimes we can drive each other crazy. But when it comes down to it,
relationship, it's a love relationship.
It is. And you know, it is almost like family. It's like, oh, you know, and it's funny. I find I get my hackles up when, you know, when people just broadly brush, oh, the media is bad.
Oh, the PR people, they're terrible.
Oh, really? Oh, the media's bad, but don't you love your local news anchor? Oh, but that's that bad thing you hate. Like, stop. Just stop.
Yeah. No hate here. I'm in love, Michelle.
That's right. Well, we hope you've gotten some value out of this conversation. We enjoyed it. And if you felt the same, please do share it. Share it with your friends. Leave us some reviews. We want to hear from you. What do you think? What are your stories? I think that's where we can gain support from each other as well. So until next time, thanks for listening to That's Solo Life.